When you put a mouse or a rat in a cage with two bottles of water, one bottle which has pure, clean drinking water, and the other one has water that is laced with, let's say, some sort of a drug, whether it be cocaine, heroin, something like this. The rat will continue to drink the drugged water until it kills itself. Now, the conclusion seems very obvious. Drugs are addictive and they're going to kill you. However, there was a certain professor of psychology named Bruce Alexander who realized that this experiment was flawed. He realized that an isolated rat has nothing to do except feel lonely and do drugs. And so he tried to change the experiment slightly. He created a rat park, a park equipped with all sorts of colorful balls, different tunnels, many different rats that they could play with and interact with and mate with. And then he gave the two types of water, pure water to drink, and then the drugged water. Do you know what the result was? Subhanallah, hardly any rats used the drugs. Hardly any of them used the drugs. And very few of them, almost none of them, drank compulsively, and none of them overdosed and died. Now, why am I telling you all this? Because subhanAllah, even in the animal kingdom, we can observe something very powerful and very important. That addiction happens when you are susceptible. You become susceptible to addiction when you are alone, when you are feeling isolated. The conclusion is what? The conclusion is very simple. Living creatures need to bond. And if we don't formulate healthy bonds, then we formulate unhealthy addictions to ease the pain of isolation. This is true of all animals. This is true of human beings as well. An addiction is just an unhealthy bond used to replace loneliness. Addiction is cured by connection. Now, keep in mind, when it comes to human beings, loneliness doesn't mean that you're by yourself. Loneliness can mean that you're surrounded by people, yet you're surrounded by people that you feel disconnected from. You feel disconnected with every person and with everything, and so you feel very lonely. In fact, there's a very powerful quote that says, "I used to think that the worst thing in life was to end up alone. I used to think that the worst thing in life was to end up alone. It's not. The worst thing in life is to end up with people that make you feel alone." And I find this to be such a powerful quote because it comes from somebody who many of you are familiar with, Robin Williams. He was a famous actor, beloved by many, comedian, very positive, successful financially, and yet, subhanAllah, he died from what? Suicide. So this is a very, very powerful quote teaching us what? Connection is the cure that we need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about this. Allah ta'ala teaches us something about addiction and how it is cured by connection, real bonds of validation, of love, connecting to the right sources. When Allah ta'ala tells us what? بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Allah tells us, إنما يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة والبغضاء في الخمر والميسر ويصدكم عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة فهل أنتم منتهون. Allah says, Shaitan only wants to cause between you animosity and hatred through intoxicants and gambling to avert you from the remembrance of Allah and to avert you from your salah. This is an incredible ayah describing addiction perfectly. Khamr al-Maisar, describing alcohol and gambling, these two addictions. What are they designed to do? You're supposed to create this unhealthy addiction so it pushes you away from the healthy bonds of your loved ones, to create animosity and hatred between one another, and to create the destructive quality of disconnecting from your Lord, so you don't make dhikrullah and so you don't pray your salah. Subhanallah, we have to think about this ayah and understand how shaitan uses addiction against us. Now the question is, what does this have to do with Eid, Eid al-Fitr? Well, allow me to explain. The month of Ramadan that we have just experienced helped us identify our addictions. The month of Ramadan was a process, was a formula to help us identify and overcome our addictions. Think about it. You can go all year lying to yourself, telling yourself that you don't really have a bad addiction. But at the end of the day, each lie is just another brick in your fortress of isolation. And sometimes you can keep telling yourself, I'm not addicted to this and that. And throughout the year, because you can deny it, because you can avoid it, avoid facing this reality, the chains of habit are too light to be felt. They're too light. You don't really feel them. Until what? Until they are too heavy to be broken. And so the month of Ramadan has forced us to cut out certain behaviors, certain evils from our life, because we knew it would cancel our fast, because we knew it would remove from our ajr. The month of Ramadan, whether it be great addictions like alcohol or gambling, or whether it be smaller ones like addictions to certain haram entertainment, listening to this, watching this and that, things that we know are haram, we were forced to look at ourselves in the mirror. We were faced with the ugliness, and we had to make the decision to quit. We had to struggle for this entire month. So, alhamdulillah, this month of Ramadan is a cleansing process and forced us to apply this cleansing formula. Some people will tell you, well, whatever doesn't kill you can only make you stronger. This expression is actually false. It's not true. Some things don't kill you and don't make you stronger either. Some things just linger. Some problems just remain, just fester. Addictions just linger. The expression is actually, more accurately, whatever problem you have and you overcome, that's what makes you stronger. Not just having problems, but overcoming them. That is the objective. How did Ramadan give us a formula for overcoming our addictions? Inshallah, I'll explain in the second khutbah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam sami kathira. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. There are three main steps to overcoming addiction. And this month of Ramadan, I want you all to pay attention. If you don't get any other message, if too many people are talking and distracting you, please just focus for this. Because there are three steps to overcoming addiction that I want you to understand and realize how incredible this formula of Ramadan, this month is, how Allah Ta'ala gave it to you and me to improve ourselves. These three steps are: interrupt the pattern. You have to break the pattern. You know, you have a routine, you wake up every morning, go to work every day, do certain things, and then when you come home, you're tired, you watch something, or you drink something, or you smoke something, or whatever it is that you have some sort of an addiction to, maybe gossiping, maybe social media, whatever your addiction is, you have this pattern, this routine that you do every day. Number one, you have to break the pattern. Number two, you have to create an empowering alternative. You have to create an empowering alternative. If you have an addiction, you can't just stop. You need to replace it with something new. And then number three is what? You have to create an empowering environment. An environment that's going to foster and support healthy bonds and growth. Let's pay attention real closely and understand how Ramadan does all three. Does number one, Ramadan, break your pattern? Absolutely. Subhanallah. Your eating pattern gets completely disrupted. Your circadian rhythm, which is a fancy way of saying what? Your sleep pattern gets completely disrupted. The entire month throws your schedule off balance, off course. Why? So that you have a chance at addressing your addictions. Number two was what? Creating an empowering alternative. Does the month of Ramadan do this? Absolutely. Allah Ta'ala doesn't just say, stop your evil addictions. Allah Ta'ala says, get obsessed with beautiful habits and practices. These empowering alternatives are offered throughout the month of Ramadan. It's not enough to just stop your evil addictions. It's as if Allah Ta'ala is telling you, you're an addict, you're addicted, you're hooked. Okay, go ahead and be an addict. Just be an addict to something better. You want to be an addict? Go right ahead. Be addicted to the pursuit of paradise. Be addicted to your connection with your Lord through dua. Be addicted to your tarawih and to your Quran. Be addicted to charity. Be addicted to dhikrullah. Be addicted to the Quran. How many stories do we know, subhanAllah, of people that would read the whole Quran, the whole Mus'haf, and then start again and again, and they would complete it 3, 4, 5, sometimes 10 times, even more times during the month of Ramadan. SubhanAllah, you're an addict, go ahead, be addicted. But be addicted with an empowering alternative. And what was the third point? The third point was, create an empowering environment. Look at this month of Ramadan. You want a month of connection? Every morning you wake up with your family to eat suhoor together, getting ready for the day because you all have the same mutual struggle together. What a beautiful time to bond. So many families never have even a moment to eat together. But Ramadan forces us to sit together and bond, healthy bonds. And then after that, in the night, when it's time to break your fast, everybody's hungry together and everybody's thirsty together, and you've been doing this for what sake? For the sake of Allah. And so you get to enjoy eating and drinking together. And then after that, what happens? You go to the masjid and you bond with your brothers and sisters as you stand close together, listen to the Quran and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't tell me that the month of Ramadan is not a month of an empowering environment that can cure you. You are always surrounded during this month. You have always been surrounded by people who want to share. Share with you in what? Share with you their food. Share with you their faith. Share with you their struggle. This is what the month of Ramadan has offered us. And so subhanAllah, this is the formula for success. Ramadan has taught us to embrace our struggles. The word motivation implies that you feel like doing a job. In Ramadan, you felt hungry, but you learn to override your feelings. That's called discipline. It's a different thing altogether. That's called discipline. Discipline is about doing the job regardless of how you feel. And that's what Ramadan teaches us. Ramadan, you felt hungry. And you learn to become satisfied being unsatisfied. Complacency is the enemy of progress. You won't grind when you're too comfortable. You won't hustle on a full stomach. Ramadan made you hungry. Ramadan got you out of your comfort zone, and this is the formula for success. People who persevere at anything are their own harshest critics, which means that they're never satisfied. In other words, they are satisfied being unsatisfied. This is called embracing the struggle. This is the discipline that we all went through for 30 days, building the qualities of success. This is the gift that Allah Ta'ala has given us in this month of Ramadan. So after the month of Ramadan, we need to continue being hungry. I don't mean being hungry for food. Don't worry, you can eat. You don't have to fast every day anymore. I'm talking about being hungry for constant improvement. You know, some people, they know how to succeed so well, but they don't know how to fail. Some people are naturally skilled and intelligent, so success has always been normal for them. And when those people fail, they can't handle it. It's a shock to the system. They quit altogether because their fragile ego can't take this sort of punishment. It's important to learn how to fail. Ramadan taught us how to make tawbah. Ramadan taught us that you can always push yourself higher, that you repent because you know you could have done better. Ramadan teaches us that level of humility to break our egos and to make us face our flaws. In fact, subhanAllah, how beautiful that the verb itself, fatara yafturu, means what? To split, to cleave, or to break. So technically, the name Eid al-Fitr means the celebration of breaking. Breaking what? Now, naturally, the answer is that you are breaking your fast. We all know this. But subhanAllah, what if it implies more than that? What if this is the celebration of breaking your ego with tawbah, a month of turning back to Allah? What if this is breaking our comfort with struggle? What if this is breaking our bad habits and our destructive patterns and our addictions by replacing them with submission to Allah? Ramadan is about breaking habits, breaking bad habits, not just putting them on pause. You spent 30 days developing these qualities, so don't let them go. Now, final point, I know it's getting long, so the final point I want to make is this, and then I end, inshallah. This country is going through an opioid epidemic and crisis, and COVID has left people feeling more isolated than ever before. Islam has the solution. Better yet, Islam is the solution for all of humanity and all of mankind. The question that should plague your mind and should honestly break our hearts is what? How many addicts could have overcome their pain if only they applied the Ramadan formula? How many people could have been cured if only they knew about that, this beautiful deen that we take for granted? So may Allah Ta'ala make us of those who focus on sharing our deen. May Allah Ta'ala make us appreciate the formula of Ramadan that we have just gone through and how it has made us stronger and tougher by interrupting our pattern, by creating empowering alternatives, and by creating empowering environment that allowed us to break free from the shackles of addiction no matter what you are addicted to. And may Allah Ta'ala make us appreciate the bonds that we have of love. And may Allah Ta'ala make us of those who can celebrate this Yawm al-Eid as a day of connecting to our Lord and connecting to our family and friends. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Allow me to be the first to tell you all. Eid Mubarak, Eid Kareem, kullu amatum bi khair, wa jazamta al khairan, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.